Kyle Rappold, Sunday PM, January 24th, 2010.
I think it was 2 years ago. This was in Abundant Grace in our bulletin. I want to read it to you tonight. It's from Warren Wiersbe, and it says, "It has been well said that doctrine tells us what is right, reproof tells us what is not right, correction tells us how to get it right, and instruction tells us how to stay right." Do you remember that? That was a good one, so I kept it. And Brother Doug, I think you got it right this morning. The love of God, you can hardly go wrong. So I'm rejoicing with the brethren. We have a place, we've come to a place that is, I think, just as rare as anything else in this world. And that's some place where you can find the fullness of the truth, the fullness of the revelation of God in Christ Jesus, and actually find others who want to win and yield and believe just as you do and win God's best. So that is a rarity, and that is a precious truth. Again, at work they say sometimes I sound like a commercial for whatever reason, but there are tracks outside, two new tracks, The Believer's Inheritance, and it has a cross on it, and it's excellent. I forewent two commercial books out there in the Christian community on the market because it just really didn't have the, might say, the substance that I was looking for, the message I was hoping to hear, and that track has it. And Norton wrote it, and it's on winning God's best, appropriating the inheritance that God wants for you as his sons and his daughters, a full inheritance as a firstborn son. And again, you just cannot find the fullness of that truth and that promise just anywhere. And so, once again, I'm thankful for that. So let's turn to Philippians. I needed a little spiritual encouragement and the Philippian spirit of pressing on and going on. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. In verse 3, Paul writes, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Verse 10, right across the aisle there. "That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Wondering why the prayer list has been so long lately and why it takes so long to pray for everybody in the meeting, the trials that we're going through, this has got to be one of the reasons why we are attacked. These are the fruits that are found here. Paul writes of maturity, summing his Christian, his faith for them. He can say, "I just know that God's going to finish that good work he's begun in you for whatever reason. Because I've seen your faith, I know your love for Christ and his love for his people. I can just say that with confidence. I know God will complete what he has begun." Talking of maturity and our walk, prayer and joy, fellowship, fullness of faith and excellence, fruits of righteousness, glory and praise of God. And so these are earmarks of the high calling of mature Christian believers. And in some things, I think most of us measure up. And we know in our own hearts when we fall short. We're in tune to the correction of the Spirit when we might be called to works of righteousness or to emphasize the love and correction more than the doctrine and correction sometimes. The Spirit keeps us perfectly in tune, I think, as we walk with him what is acceptable and what is needed for the saints at this time. So I'm convinced that all of us are functioning members in the body of Christ. Is there any, you know, member in the body that we cannot do without? There isn't. When one member hurts, we all hurt, and we never forget it. We all are like sheep. We're led, we follow, we hear the voice of the Spirit, And when it comes shearing time, we're sheared. We yield to the coat for another, the blessings of another. We all abide in the vine. We all endure the harsh weather and realities. We all have been pruned, and we all yield to the harvest when Christ comes to take a harvest for his own will or his own purpose, his own pleasure, his own joy. And we are all called and have experienced, have we not, the cross, a personal cross that we bear and carry. I believe we've all experienced, in a measure, a throne and a crown. Who in here has not judged their own walk or their own selves or their circumstances or their family or life? Who has not enjoyed victories and who has not enjoyed the crown and the encouragement of being victorious? We all have. We all have individually. We all have collectively, I think. So in that same spirit, corporately, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And there in Corinthians, we find Paul once again witnessing to the Philippian saints and their ministries and their lives, their testimony. Their blessed neon testimony is light in this present world. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive this gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so when we make an appeal or we pray or we have a need from each other, it really isn't going, you know, above and beyond the call of duty, as it were, to ask, to pray for me. I have a need. Can you meet it, or can you help me meet it? Because we know that we've already given ourselves to the Lord. We're already yielded to the Lord. It's just a mere extension of my, you know, myself, yourself, to serve or to pray for each other. In verse 2, the witness here, during their trials of afflictions, their poverty, you know, you would think they got so down that they couldn't reach out to anybody. I didn't have anything to give, you know. I was so poor, I didn't have anything to give, or I couldn't do anything. Paul said that is the very testimony that abounded. It overflew in the love of Christ. It overabounded. I can always pray. I can always pray sincerely. I can always pray with understanding for each other. We can always do that. And if God gives us the ability to give, the ability to serve, how much more of a blessing that is. And that's the Philippian testimony. You know, I just rejoice sometimes during the week on a Wednesday, driving down Wadsworth at the stop sign. You know how you get to thinking, I'm wondering, like, is there going to be anybody there tonight? Maybe I'll find the doors barred and locked, and just let's quit church and stop coming. It's just so hard. The trials are so thick and deep and difficult. Let's just count it that we've overcome and keep a golden ticket and just go live life until the Lord does come. Why keep on keeping on? Well, because it is difficult at times. Well, it should abound that much more. Anew, what's being renewed in the image of Christ? What does it mean to be conformed to the very image and the character, the new man, the new nature? And that is that balance that we need. If it's in heart, you know, that's wonderful. That's always needed. If it's in mind and doctrine and understanding, how rich that is, and a blessings to illuminate others. You know, just to listen to the young people in Dylan and Joshua, Kyron, in Sunday school, beginning to formulate, you know, how is life and high school, how is that going to coalesce? How is that going to gel? You know there's friction there. You know there's challenges there. And so we pray for our young people. We equip them in doctrine, and we know that, you know, the church is here. Every one of us is here for anything that should happen. You know, in prayer and support, we're there. And so we all have to learn how to walk and live that. We all have our own burdens, and just enough that we can help bear one another's burdens, whatever or how heavy they might be, by God's grace. I've had a number of personal things in my life also at this time. And for the first time in, what is it, it's been 12 years, I think, I've seen my daughter. Well, this summer I get to see her and spend a week with her and visit. And so that is an answer to prayer. Joy abides. I'm joyful. And these trials I'm equipped to handle and face with faith in the power of God, in joy, needing help, in humility, but taking them head on, not being, you know, fearful. And we also, we can do that. Mark Twain said, true joy, you need somebody to divide it with. You can't really enjoy it all by yourself. You got to have people, somebody to enjoy it with each other, with family, with a spouse, with friends, with Christian friends, or the assembly. So, saints, don't go away. We really need each other. We really need to uphold one another in prayer. So you show up tonight, there's a football game on. 2 weeks is the real test. The Super Bowl will be on. we're counting heads right now. but it's important that we're here and we're telling each other, yes, this is important to me. So daily we persevere. Daily we go on and we renew in the that sun comes up every day in a glorious, you know, orange and a hue of a new day. And so it is with the life of Christ in the new creation. Philippians 3. We quote this oft, but it's a great scripture. Philippians 3 and 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I think I've broken down this verse just about as much as this can be broken down as to what it means. Apprehended, I've likened it to, you know, laying hold of faith, like mountain climbing with a piton and a carabiner. Just laying hold, snapping it into place. And that verse, that promise is mine. And God's not going to let go of me, and I'm not going to let go of his promises. But at the end of this verse, it is a new challenge. It says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. We're in different stages in our walk, in the race. Some of us have been around longer, as it were. And if I was to ask, what is it that lies before you still? What is still ahead to be apprehended and laid hold of? Our answers would be different from allowance for the weekends, to a boyfriend or a girlfriend, to getting through college, to retirement, to health, till the Lord comes. Whatever it is, may it simply be said, I still want to look to Christ to apprehend God's will, the fullness of his will and purpose for me in life, whatever that might be, whatever he might use to bring me to that place of maturity, perfection, completion. So that's what I look to each day, what the Lord has for me, and by his gracious mercy helps me to apprehend and get through. And then on the other side, profit, bear fruit by it, be transformed by it, and yield to it. Brother Jim at coffee this morning said, I've never seen the saints under so many trials. I've never seen so many trials in the meeting as we have now. And I said, it's true. There's not one of us that doesn't have a physical need, a financial need, a burden of emotional need, a spiritual need. It just goes on and on and on. And looking at that gray picture, let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Solomon's quick synopsis of life, walking in the green grass under the sun. We would be utterly discouraged without hope, without faith. We'd be a people defeated. But we're not. We're not. Chapter 1 and verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Chapter 2 and verse 22. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? All his days are sorrows, his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Apart from the inner life of Christ and the Holy Spirit, you can just see all humanity, you know, in that endless cycle, laboring without all these blessings we've just been talking about. The hope of the Son of Righteousness, the blessing of each new day, the labor where there is fruit, there is eternal fruit in the small things of life. I think I caught a glimpse of glory from some of the older saints that, correct me if I'm wrong, it's just some of the small and simple things in life that are the greatest pleasures. A good meal, a good night's sleep, a good blessing in the Lord, a nice prayer. Not to acquire more and more and more and more, but this too you should accept from the hand of God. Every day God works in us as we work in this world, and we're blessed by it, and he blesses us for it. These trials we can take head on. We can pray through them and we can get the victory over them. We need not be broken by our burdens, nor do we have a life of fantasy of hoping to float through life without a care in the world. Warren Wiersbe, again, the man who wrote that little quote at the beginning, wrote of the Philippians as the what of the Bible, the joy book of the Bible. I said, be joyful. Wouldn't you know it? Philippians, full of trials, full of difficulties. It's the joy book of the Bible. Well, be joyful. That's the paradox, I think, of faith that I'm learning. It abounds to joy. It abounds to the glory of Christ, these very things. So an increased knowledge of our Savior, being conformed to his image, knowing his will, being able to do his will. Well, I'm getting long-winded. I'm going to conclude here. It's a lot to chew on, a lot to live up to. The true and eternal joy that we give ourselves each day anew and keeping our faith afresh by being in the Word of God and yielded to Christ each day. In the meeting, we learn his purpose to take us to new heights, new spiritual depths, maturity in life, and eternal life. And above all this, we magnify the grace of God, for God did it in us and through us. Glory to the Lord. So, thank you, saints. God bless you this week.